Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. The relationship between faith and works, it seems to be a huge controversy between Mormon theology and those of us who claim to be evangelical Christians. But what is the true relationship between the two? We're going to begin with a statement made by Dr. Stephen Robinson. He was a professor at Brigham Young University. This is what he said in his book, Believing Christ.
He said, "For centuries, theologians have argued pointlessly over whether individuals are saved by faith or saved by works. A pox on both their houses, for neither by faith alone, defining faith as mere passive belief, nor by works alone are we saved."
Now, I wouldn't agree with Dr. Robinson in saying that this argument is pointless, because certainly the argument is very, very important. One thing is clear, though. When it comes to the doctrine of justification by faith alone, Mormon leaders have certainly been highly critical. You have, for instance, 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith in his book, The Restoration of All Things. This book came out in 1964. On page 192, he said, "One of the most pernicious doctrines ever advocated by man is the doctrine of justification by faith alone, which has entered into the hearts of millions since the so-called Reformation." And he certainly wasn't alone. You have Mormon Apostle James Talmage in a book that was commissioned by the First Presidency, a book titled Articles of Faith. On page 432 of the 1984 edition, it reads, "The sectarian dogma of justification by faith alone has exercised an influence for evil."
So you have pernicious doctrine and an evil influence. That doesn't sound like they're big advocates of justification by faith alone.
And what's interesting about this whole controversy is that statement made by Joseph Smith in his Joseph Smith translation, which is really not a translation at all, where he says in Romans 3:28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith alone without the deeds of the law." I don't think Joseph Smith was consistent when he writes that in the Joseph Smith translation, but it is there, and I think that should be a problem for Latter-day Saints, because it is in the inspired version, and if you're going to think it's inspired, you're going to have to ask the question, inspired by whom or what? Well, I thought in responding to this, we would turn to one of the big guns, Martin Luther. Martin Luther had a lot to say about this, as you can imagine, but he puts it in such a perspective that I feel it's so easy to understand what our position is as New Testament Christians. So let's look at some of the statements that Martin Luther made regarding the topic of justification by faith and the relationship to works, because we are not, as New Testament Christians, saying that we should not have works. We're not saying that at all. So when you have Robinson, for instance, saying that someone is accusing them of being saved by works, I don't know of anybody that would say that of the Mormon people, that that's all they believe. You're just saved by works. No, Mormonism does have a doctrine of grace. They do have a doctrine of faith. So that could be a bit of a straw man on the part of Dr. Robinson. But Martin Luther had some good things to say about this. And maybe some of the things he said you can use in a witnessing situation talking with a Latter-day Saint.
He says, "We say that justification is effective without works, not that faith is without works. For that faith which lacks fruit is not an efficacious but a feigned faith. Without works is ambiguous, then. For that reason, this argument settles nothing. It is one thing that faith justifies without works. It is another thing that faith exists without works."
And I think that puts it in a proper perspective. Notice, Martin Luther is not denying that a Christian, a true Christian justified by their faith, is not going to have works. He's saying, no, they are going to have works. And I think that's often lost on a lot of Latter-day Saints, because as Christians are trying to explain what we believe regarding our justification, we tend to overlook the fact that we certainly do believe that a true saving faith will have works. So when Luther says without works is ambiguous, then I think he's absolutely correct. And I would say that a Christian who thinks that works are not at all a part of the Christian's life probably does have what he describes as a feigned faith.
The book of Ephesians in chapter 2 talks about grace and faith and the importance of those in salvation, and not by works, but a lot of Latter-day Saints like to answer with James 2:20, faith without works is dead. The way that you can handle that situation is say that you agree with James in the context of what he's talking about. And in fact, if you go to verse 10 of Ephesians 2, right after he gets done by saying not by works, he says, we are God's workmanship, created by Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So what Martin Luther is saying here is exactly right. If you have faith, there will be works, but it's not the works that gives you the faith or gives you the ability to say that you're saved through those works.
I think an expression that many Christians have used, and quite correctly, is if you have a true saving faith, that works will definitely follow. They are the result of being justified, not the means for being justified. What else did Luther have to say on this subject?
He says, faith is a living, restless thing. It cannot be inoperative. We are not saved by works, but if there be no works, there must be something amiss with faith.
And I think you and I would totally agree with that. Oftentimes when Latter-day Saints will point to what they see as hypocritical professing Christians, oh, they say they believe, but then they go out and they do this and they do that, and they seem to have no conviction of these sins. I would agree with them. There's probably something, as Luther says, amiss with this quote-unquote faith that these individuals claim to have. So we would be in complete agreement with the Latter-day Saint, who points to the hypocrisy of what they would see as unrepentant Christians. Now, of course, we would then want to ask, well, when you say Christian, what do you mean by that? Because there's a lot of people who profess to be a Christian, but are they really? That's a difficulty that I would say is not for us to judge, because we don't really know where they are. And all we can go by is what we see. And of course, Jesus was the one that admonished us to be careful not to judge according to the appearance. So as finite human beings, we are placed in a precarious situation when trying to make a judgment call like that. However, I don't think it would be wrong for us as Christians to question this professed faith that a man or woman may have who says they're Christian but yet shows no fruit of Christianity. I don't think there's anything wrong with challenging an individual like that and asking them if they really understand what Christianity is all about, because it certainly isn't the idea that we claim to be Christians and then we go out and live whatever way we please. There is a place for both, but to say that somehow your works are necessary in order to receive that forgiveness of sins that is also necessary, even in Mormon theology, to be exalted or to become a god in the next life, no, we wouldn't say works are what we need for that at all.
Another quote from Luther, he says, a Christian, being consecrated by his faith, does good works, but he is not by these works made a holier person or more of a Christian. That is the effect of faith alone. No, unless he were previously a believer and a Christian, none of his works would have any value at all. They would really be impious and damnable sins.
That's an interesting phrase that he uses, impious and damnable sins. And what does Luther really mean by this? Basically, what he's telling us is if you think that by your good works you are somehow going to be made right with God, you're sinning. You're sinning. And I know that's a difficult concept for Latter-day Saints to put their head around, but that's basically what I would say. You're looking at something that certainly cannot save you. Remember, your works are only going to be as good as you are. If you are a sinful human being, your works are going to be tainted by that sin. I don't think a lot of Latter-day Saints really grasp what we mean when we say that. They seem to stereotype us and try to give the impression that we don't think a believer should try to live a holy life or live a godly life. And that certainly is not, in my opinion, an accurate appraisal of what the New Testament says about our works.
Another quote by Luther, "We do not then reject good works. Nay, we embrace them and teach them in the highest degree. It is not on their own account that we condemn them, but on account of this impious addition to them and the perverse notion of seeking justification by them." Now, Bill, a lot of Latter-day Saints will say that we as Christians must believe that we're saved by grace and then we can go do whatever we want to do. But no, Christians, as you've talked about earlier in the show, embrace good works. We teach them to the highest degree. Martin Luther is exactly right on this.
I think the problem lies in the fact is who's getting the credit here? We as New Testament Christians would certainly be giving all the credit to God himself for calling us unto himself, saving us by his grace. Even that faith to believe we look at as being a gift from God, it all goes back to God. We would never point to anything that we have done and think that that had anything to do with the forgiveness of our sins or our justification, as we call it. Luther, I think, states it correctly, but on account of this impious addition to them and the perverse notion of seeking justification by them.
And I think that's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, so that no man can boast. And if you listen to a lot of people who believe in works righteousness, they begin a lot of their sentences with "I," because they're talking about what they do.
Exactly. And again, I think there is a lot of stereotype on the part of the Latter-day Saint when they've heard a Christian try to explain what we believe on this particular topic. They tend to, I think, turn a blind eye to what we're trying to say. Now, could Christians explain it badly? Yes, I think Christians can explain it badly. They can explain justification by faith in a way, perhaps, that might sound more like antinomianism, that we don't believe that there should be good works that follow a true profession of faith. So I would hope that the Latter-day Saint wouldn't judge Christianity or judge our beliefs as evangelicals merely because someone explained it badly. And sadly, I have had emails from Mormons who do make judgments like this, that they have heard something explained to them, and I would agree that it was explained badly, and they assume that that's what New Testament Christians believe when it's not.
How about one more quote from the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon? He said, "If you believe first, you may have as many works as you please. But if you believe, you will never trust in them. For if you trust in them, you have spoilt them, and they are not good works any longer."
I love that quote by Spurgeon. I love when he says this. Look, if you believe first, if you're justified, go out and have as many works as you want. There's nothing wrong with that. We would never condemn anything like that. I hope this explains a little bit what Luther's position was on this touchy issue, and perhaps you could use some of his arguments in a witnessing situation.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Mormonism 101, a book by Mormonism Research Ministries, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, has helped many who want to understand what separates Mormonism from the Christian faith. Mormonism 101 is available at your favorite Christian bookstore or online at mrm.org.